mighty sweet words, Brother Brad. Mighty sweet. Love to hear the. I love to hear the testimony of someone being granted that light. You know, a lot of people. You know, the Apostle Paul, whenever he was called before Agrippa, said, "I cease not to tell you my story." And the reason why he said that, it's recorded in Acts chapter 26, is because he was hoping that the ones who had called him to trial and who were seated there and who brought him forth to scorning, he's wanting to bring them into relationship to his experience. He said, "I cease not to tell you my story of how the Lord granted me the light and blessed me with the privilege of serving God." Thank the Lord for those. I love to tell mine. Love to tell the story of what the Lord did for me and granted me the light that Brother Brad just clearly showed us that young man was granted with. And I'm going to build on those thoughts this morning. And it's something that the Lord had already impressed upon my mind. The verse of Scripture I want to read from is from in the 89th Psalm, verse 15. "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. They shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance." Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound. I want to speak today on the blessings of being blessed. Sounds redundant, sounds funny. And if you read that verse of Scripture, our English majors would say that people is plural. That should say blessed are the people. I'm from South Georgia, but I can tell when there's a plural and you're supposed to use are and not is. But the Lord's Word uses is. So what does that tell us? This is talking about a singular group of people. Blessed is the people. Who was this that Brother Brad just brought before us there in Romans chapter 11, was a remnant. And the psalmist David said, "Blessed is the people that know the joyful sound." Blessed are they. How are they blessed? Why are they blessed? How do they continue on in those blessings? Scripture tells us in the New Testament, the Lord, even in going back to the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord uses that word, "Blessed are these people." Matthew chapter 5. Remember, if I have to set the stage for where he was on top of a mountain. The Lord came there to his disciples, and he climbed a mountain and preached. He didn't climb a mountain to get in the pulpit. He climbed a mountain to preach. There's a difference. This pulpit, this will probably get me in trouble with a lot of people from old times past, is nothing but a raised platform for you to see me better, for me to make sure you don't fall asleep. That's what this is here for. This is not holy ground. This ground is no more holy than if we preach down there. Somebody told me one time that somebody made me one time speak from down there because they didn't want me here. And it rattled me to the point where I couldn't even read the Scripture that I had in front of me. Because there was no podium there to set it on and so forth. This is not holy ground. It's something that ought to be taken seriously, a man standing here preaching to God's people. But this is not holy ground. And when the Lord climbed that mountain, he wasn't climbing the mountain to get on holy ground. He climbed the mountain and said, "If you're not willing to climb with me to hear the things that I'm about to preach, then you're not going to be my disciple anyway." The people who were willing to follow him up that mountain were the ones who got preached to. They were the blessed ones, the ones who received the knowledge of what it meant to be blessed. Yeah. They received the knowledge of knowing what it meant with the blessings of being blessed. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are those people. Those are the beatitudes laid out there. He also says in Matthew chapter 11, "Blessed are those who are not offended in me." You know, there's a real inclination in our sinful nature to be offended by God, especially in this society and in this culture that we live in. I find myself sometimes, I like to, on my breaks at work, maybe you do this as well, I don't know, but everybody always stiffens up when they see you reading the Bible. Y'all sense that too whenever you pull one out at work? It makes people uncomfortable a lot of times. When you pull it out on your breaks, when you're seated in the break room and you pull a Bible out, sometimes it does. It makes other people, when they come around there, feel uncomfortable. all of a sudden, if you were reading a magazine, nobody would think another thing of coming into the room that you're reading and opening up the mag, or while you've got the magazine open, them coming in and them carrying on whatever conversation that they wanted to talk about. But if you open up a Bible and you're reading it in some sort of break room or some kind of area, they'll stiffen up. And the reason is, I don't know why, either it is because whatever they had on their minds to talk about maybe not being appropriate for a Bible subject. But nonetheless, sometimes it can make people feel tense. It offends sometimes. And you know what? As a reaction to that, a lot of Christians sometimes take their Bible and they hide it. They walk around and they say, I don't want other people to know I'm reading it. I don't want to know people to know I'm studying this. They hide it. And they're less likely to pull it out. But God's Word says, blessed are they who are not offended in me. The Lord, in John chapter 6, preaching to a group of people who he had just fed a multitude. I've preached on this before, but I need to sort of get us to the point where he asked that very people. He had just fed them. One of the miracles in God's Word, he had fed a multitude with a few loaves of bread and a few fishes. And he got up before they got up, and he went across the way. And those ones who had just been fed, who had just had their flesh fed, notice, they were hungry, and they had their flesh fed, their belly full, they got up and they came across with them. Several thousand came over. Said, the Lord's not here anymore. We don't have any more food. Let's follow him over here to the other side. And they get over to the other side. And the Lord, instead of breaking off a few more loaves of bread and a few fishes and feeding them again, he preaches to them. He preaches to them about unconditional election, about our eternal security in the Lord, and how our eternal life is secure in him. He preaches to them instead of feeding them again. And when he gets done preaching, a lot of those look around and they say, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? Who can understand it? Well, the Lord said, doth this offend you? As the article that Brother Coy wrote in our newsletter a couple months ago, maybe 2 months ago, doth this offend you? They were offended by those teachings. Do you know that the world today is offended by the teachings of predestination, election? They are offended by them. But the Lord says, blessed are they who are not offended in me. Those are the Lord's teachings. Blessed are they if you're not offended in them. But the Lord goes on to say later on in John chapter 6, he knew before who would believe and who wouldn't. And no, he's not saying that those were mine elect and these were not. That's not what he's saying. He knew who he had given the light to understand. Brother Brad just presented to us, the Lord gives the life and the Lord gives the light. He gives both. And I'm here to tell you, everybody who has the life does not have the light. Blessed are they who are not offended in me, because they have the light of what the Lord has done for them. And they've given, and because the Lord has given it to him. The Scripture says that Paul planted, Apollos watered. In other words, Paul went there and Paul preached first. I don't have a whole lot of Scripture, so I can. We're going to get done on time, so just stay with me here for just a few minutes. I'm making a point here. The Apostle Paul preached in places where the gospel had never been preached before. He planted. He would go places where the Lord burdened him, and he'd preach. After him was one named Apollos. You've all, I'm sure, read the name there. Apollos was one who, to start off with, was preaching in somewhat of error. And Priscilla and Aquila brought him in under their wing and showed them unto the way of God more perfectly. That it should be the role. If you feel that I've gone astray, that something from this pulpit has been said that shouldn't have been said, that is the way you handle those situations. Because Scripture says that Priscilla and Aquila took them under their arm in a way of love and showed them the way unto God more perfectly. That's the way that you do that. And then here we read later on that the Apollos watered. So in other words, they got Apollos on the straight and narrow way. Apollos watered that the Paul had planted. But who gave the increase? Was it the dynamic of the preacher? Was it because he was so eloquent and had spent 8 years in his theological seminary? No, it says the Lord gave the increase. It took the Lord to grant the light. And if you don't believe that everybody who reads these things, or if you think that everybody who just has a Bible and who believes in Jesus Christ has light, go show them John chapter 6 and see if they are not offended by the very things that our Articles of Faith list. It will offend ones because they don't understand it. They haven't been granted the privilege of the blessings of having the light. Blessed are they who are not offended. But you know what? If you've been granted the light, and you are not offended, and you believe it. It doesn't stop there. Scripture refers again and again to something else that we must do in order to continue in the blessing. If I've gotten to this point in the sermon and you think that I'm talking about an eternal life, then I have failed to this point. I'm not talking about eternity, I'm talking about discipleship. How do you continue in the blessing? I tell you how you continue in the blessings of having your eternal life is because the Lord is going to hold you there. And you're going to be in heaven because He will never let you go. None who He ever bled His precious blood on the cross for will ever spend not 1 minute in hell. That won't happen. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about discipleship being blessed by God here in this world. And He says, blessed are you if you're not offended in the things that I teach you. Blessed are you if you're not offended and if you believe them and if you rejoice in them. But that's just not all that Scripture says that we must do. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 24. A scripture we often mention in reference to how the fact that it was not just the preacher, it was not just the Bible that showed us the light is the Lord, when He constituted His church in Matthew chapter 16, He said, whom do you say that I am? Asking those apostles. And then Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, my Father which is in heaven. It took the Lord to reveal those things to him. But here you come, and it doesn't end there. Our discipleship does not end with saying, I believe these things that you're preaching, Brother Will. I believe them. Let's go eat some dinner. That's not the way it ends. He says in Matthew chapter 24, let's read in verse 46. Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he coming, shall find so doing. Find what doing? Find doing what? Well, if we go back to verse 42, now, the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, you know, it's the Olivet Discourse that we all read about that if you wanted to... Compare it to the way the interpretation that the world gives this, we could blindfold ourselves and every one of us turn 10 circles and try to everyone run out that door at the same time, because that's about what the world does with this chapter of Scripture here. They're confused, as Elder Sonny Powell says, a termite in a yo-yo. Here you're talking about the Lord, three questions were asked of Him. He said, when shall these things be? What shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? When shall what things be is what they're asking. When shall these things be? When shall one stone not be turned upon another? When shall Rome, they don't know yet at this point, when shall Rome sack our city and these things come to pass? When shall these things be? Now, you know, as you read in God's Word, and if we were to go to 110th Psalm, you would read that indeed that destruction of Jerusalem was a punishment by God to those Israelites who had rejected Him. Does that mean that He formed up the Roman army and He marched them in there? No. It meant that all He did was lift His protective hand off of Jerusalem and say, I'm going to let the world have their way with you. And that's what happened. And we ought to learn from that here in these New Testament times here in the United States of America. If we don't continue to do what God says and turn our lives around individually and turn this country back around, the Lord just might say, I'm going to lift my blessed hand off of you, America, and I'm going to let Satan have their way with you. Now this should teach us what can happen whenever Satan has his way and the blessed hedge of the Lord Jesus Christ is removed from a people. But here you have, as we pointed out before, and if you're confused by the points I'm about to make, back in January on our website you can download the sermon that brought out the qualifications of prophecy and the qualifications of a prophet. And that is that some of the things were fulfilled short term and were also listed to be fulfilled in the long term. This is both talking about the destruction of Israel that these people were going to witness, these people were going to know that happened, as well as it's talking about the end times. When shall these things be? When shall the destruction of Israel be? And what shall be the signs of thy coming? The Lord said that blessed is he that will continue in my teachings and keep that which I have given them. Because if these Israelites, 60 years later, after this discourse is given and the destruction of Israel happened, 40 years later, the destruction of Israel happened, if they continued in the teaching, what would that have done for them? They would have known to get out. That they had to get out. That when the persecution came upon Jerusalem, that they could have scattered out. That just in the warnings given in this chapter, Scripture says that when they come, don't go back in your house. Don't go back and get anything. Hit the mountains. If they would have continued in these teachings, they would have been spared the destruction of that city. And he said, blessed is he that when the wrath of God comes upon this area, blessed is he that continues in the teaching until then, because you'll know how to get out. But the same thing goes to us as New Testament Christians today. Blessed is he who that when the Lord comes back, he sees us still living a life that is glorifying unto him. Blessed are we if we can continue in those ways. Was there? Can you think of a better scenario? I might not should ask this because you might say, yeah, I'd rather be doing something else. But wouldn't it be good to be worshiping the Lord when he comes back for his people? And we say, look at us, Lord, not bragging, but saying, we're waiting for you. Come and get us and take us home to a place where sin is no more. We're worshiping and singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs unto thee. Thank thee, dear Lord, that we have continued. What I'm telling you is what God's Word says in verse 42. Watch therefore, for you know not what hour the Lord your Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known in what... I've got to get it rinsed down for a while. That if the good man of the house had known in what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would not have suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore be ye also ready, and for such an hour, as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. When this is a, who then is a faithful and wise servant, who his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. In other words, when the Lord comes back, he finds you still laboring for the house of God. Still finds you doing the things that he had left here, and left his saints doing. When we were working on the farm, and we would be working way back somewhere back in deep in the woods, my daddy had a knack for sneaking up to see if we were still working. As a matter of fact, we would take breaks that otherwise, if he was there, would not be granted. We took them because it was four high school kids, and if any of you look at me and think down on me on that and think you were any better in high school, let's talk, because high school kids do that sort of thing. We'd take a break, and we'd be wrestling or doing something we weren't supposed to be doing, but we had somebody on watch. We had somebody watching and listening for his truck. And we had it down to an art. If we were working near the highway and we couldn't see the highway, we could tell whenever it was a clunker from Kite or whether or not it was my daddy's truck coming up to check on us. We could tell. We said, hold on a minute, y'all hear me? We were listening to know so that whenever he came and saw us, he'd catch us working and not lollygagging around. And you know what? The Lord ain't like my daddy. He can see through those trees and he can see what's going on. He's watching you now. Is he watching you labor or be lazy? The Lord, in the book of Revelation, the Apostle John said, blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he that readeth. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Turn over there with me if you want to. Revelation chapter 1, verse 3. Blessed is he that readeth. Now, does he in there and say, blessed are they that just read the Bible? Blessed is he that readeth. Blessed is he if we tote this around daily in our book bag and get it out and read it. That's all you need to do is read God's Word. That's all you need to do. Discipleship doesn't require any more in order for you to be blessed by God. And again, I'm not talking about an eternal blessing. That's not what this book was written for. It was written to the seven churches in Asia for them to read and for to get them back on the straight and narrow way. It's written to keep us on the straight and narrow way. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep the things that are written therein. Keep them. You can't just read them. You can't just hear them. You have to keep them. You have to do them. It takes work. It takes effort. And blessed are the ones that do it, for the time is at hand. You've got to keep these things up. And you know, notice a lot of people call us peculiar people. Primitive Baptists, y'all are peculiar about your worship. You're peculiar about your beliefs. Well, Scripture says that we're peculiar people. If that's not enough. But nonetheless, Scripture says to keep the things that He has given us. And not add a thing to it. As a matter of fact, in Revelation chapter 22, if we go to the end, we will find out what the Lord thinks of adding things to His worship and adding things unto His Word. He said, I will send the plagues unto you for adding to my Word, for adding unto His things. That's the reason why we're peculiar. He goes on in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And he said, the Lord came unto me, saying, write. And I heard a voice from the Lord saying unto me, write. And he starts, and you know, I like to give the example of the Apostle John here on the island of Patmos, writing this, you know, a lot of people like to give a poor depiction, you know, a poor, pitiful John depiction of him on the island of Patmos writing this because he's been exiled there. But, you know, may we be thankful that the Lord's with us. If the world has abandoned us to somewhere far off, praise God, the Lord will still meet with us. And the Lord was with him. He said, I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write. And he said, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. What does that mean? You say, what does that mean, preacher? That does not mean, well, let me tell you what it does mean, because I could go through all day long on what it does not mean. Blessed are they which die still serving the Lord from henceforth. From this point on, blessed are the ones who die still serving the Lord I'm hesitant to use the word because the way it's perverted today. Blessed are those who seek to persevere in the Lord. Now, I'll never stand before you if I haven't already corrected that in the error of which. That does not mean that if you don't do it, that you're not a child of God. That is not what that means. But it should mean that you should strive to do it. You should strive to breathe your last breath still praising God for His amazing grace and that which He has done for you. You should strive to do that, and blessed are they that do it, that die in the Lord from henceforth. They die serving Him. Die in Him from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. We could... I'm going to tell you right now that in their works do follow them. You better agree with me on this, and thank God that this is the case, that our works don't follow us up to eternal heaven. That's not what that says, and that's not what it means. What it means is your works will follow you, your legacy right here in this world. Do you know that your works, everything that you do, that your children observe you doing, and that your children witness you doing, they're going to tell later on. They have a tendency to tell the good things and not the bad things. You know, there's some things that I know about my family just by my daddy telling me, just so I know. But that's not what we talk about at Thanksgiving and Christmas dinners. We talk about the good things from grandparents who have gone on. You know, there's bad things that are contained in God's Word about certain saints. But I tell you, the New Testament mentions Moses. We still talk about Moses. His works have followed them right on up to the year 2009. The works of Moses have followed him. We're still talking about it. Don't you want your legacy to be a good one? Don't you want your children to have plenty of good things to say about you? Don't you want your children to see you worshiping God and praising Him and continuing in the things that He has left for you here to do? Those will be the things they tell your grandchildren and your great-grandchildren about. It won't be the bad things. Nobody wants to bring up the bad things that... Well, nobody in my family does. Maybe they do in yours. But nobody wants to talk about those things. But God's Word says, and their works do follow them. And you know what? You could take that individual. You could take that on an individual basis, brothers and sisters, and you can sure take it as a church. Your works will follow you. Because I'm here to tell you, you depart the faith now, you ain't leaving a whole lot of chance for the people behind you. Your works will follow you. If you continue in this straight and narrow way, blessed are you if you do them, and your works will follow you if you die serving the Lord. We could go to another place, Luke chapter 11, verse 27. Just to drive home the point about keeping these things, keeping them, living in them, dying, still doing. If I read in verse 27 of Luke chapter 11, and it came to pass, as he spake these things, a certain woman of the company lifted up her voice and said unto him, Blessed is the womb that bare thee and the paps which thou hast sucked. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. You know, this overturns the idea that we're supposed to worship Mary. He says that. He says, Yea, rather. But he said, Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and do what? Read it, hear it, and that's it. And keep it. Continue in it. Keep it. That was a very important point he made. Keep the Word of God. No, not blessed my mother, but blessed are you who are able and who've been blessed with the light to hear. Unto you has been given the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. The Lord first started speaking in parables, and his disciples said, Why do you speak to us in parables? Because unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. It does not mean that they burn in eternal torment. What he's saying is they won't get to enjoy the blessings of being blessed. Right here. Blessed are you if you've been blessed to hear it, and blessed will you be if you continue to keep the things contained in God's Word. God's Word contains the same message, the same lingo for charity. You know, blessed are you if you've had the privilege to hear the good news of the work of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you if you will continue in these things. He also mentions charity. Let's go, and this will be the last example I use. Luke chapter 12. You just turn over one. If I start reading in verse 12 of Luke chapter 12. Excuse me, that's the... I wrote down the wrong verse of Scripture. But what the Lord told these saints is that blessed are you if you have a dinner. And instead of inviting the rich ones, instead of inviting the ones who have, invite the ones who have not.
Yeah.
Invite the less fortunate. Invite those who maybe may not have something to eat that night. Those who can't recompense you anything for granting it to them.
That's right.
You know, that takes a little bit more than inviting somebody or giving somebody something who can then return it to you. You know, if a politician really wanted to be a role model, he could start out, you know, before he ever ran for office and grant stuff to people before he's asking for them to vote for him. That would be the best way to go about it. If you're true about your charity, as a matter of fact, Scripture says knowledge puffeth up, and knowledge will puff you up. If you don't think that you can't get too smart for yourself and for everybody else, you're wrong, because God's Word says knowledge puffeth up. Knowledge can puff up a preacher. A preacher who thinks that he gets to be too high and above the people he's preaching to, it'll puff him up to the point where it's all neck up instead of neck down, and none of it comes from the heart. Knowledge puffeth up, but what? But charity edifieth. Charity edifieth. When you, as the Apostle Paul was preaching to the elders at Ephesus in Acts chapter 20, in verse 35, he said specifically, he said, I have shewed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Blessed are you when you give to those who have not, as opposed to those who have. The world would tell you and look at you funny for doing these things. Do you know that? If you were to bring somebody to church, God forbid we ever look down on anybody who stumbles in here and needs something. You know, you have to be careful, as our deacon brethren are, and I thank the Lord for that, especially from the place before Bethany sold their building down there. Man, I could tell you some stories about some guests that we got in there who had no inclination of serving God in their minds whenever they arrived there. As a matter of fact, at times it would even scare us to know that maybe they had ill will in their minds, much less serving God. So you have to be careful. But nonetheless, how we should treat them the same way as we, if a family from this community, a family with five kids who just sort of mesh right in here with us, and you could see them just continuing right here. You could see them and say, man, that's they're just like us. Do you know we ought to treat them the same as anybody who comes in here? Because odds are you look on somebody and you say, they offer us nothing. But the Lord says, you give to them the same way that you would give to anybody. Blessed are ye if you do those things. Blessed are we if we continue in these things as a church, as individuals. Blessed are they who hear the joyful sound of the trumpet. That's joyful news to us. If we were to stand up here today and tell stories of charity from either our forefathers, maybe some of our grandparents, I tell you what, my daddy, when Brother Harold was here back in November, my daddy had him in tears in our house over breakfast table, telling about how they used to spend their Christmas mornings. And you know what? We can take this right on into Christmas of today. And, you know, when Christmas comes up, it's gotten so, our society has so perverted what could be such a good thing in giving to others. And, you know, when you talk to a lot of these people, you know, especially those who, like my daddy's family, didn't have a whole lot anyway, and to hear how they would take a lot of times that they had just gotten on Christmas Eve and then drive around the community and give it away, that's charity. Those people offered nothing. They offered nothing in return. And you know what? Those children would have gotten up on the next morning whenever they swapped gifts or whatever, and they'd have had nothing if somebody didn't first take it by them. You know what, that's a joyful sound of a charitable heart. That's good news. And if you have the desire to do that, it's because the Lord has first implanted it on you. Us by nature are selfish. We don't want to give a thing to anybody. We ought to praise God and thank God for Him giving us the heart to give to others who don't have. Blessed are you if you do those things. Blessed are you if you understand and if you're not offended at the teachings of Jesus Christ. Blessed are you if you continue in them. Blessed shall we all be if we have a charitable heart in worshiping our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Thank you so much, Brother Brad, for introducing services today. I thank the Lord for the kind, humble words that you brought forward. And I thank the Lord for your kind, sweet attention today. Nobody fell asleep, and we all are tired. I can see it. But nonetheless, thank God that we had the opportunity to come to His house this morning and worship Him. Is there...